Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I would like to add just two verses to the reading that you have just heard. Verses 10 and 11 following. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? This is our text. Dear Christian friends, when I look at these passages that talk about money in Scripture, I almost want to push them aside because, at least for me, managing money seems a very easy thing to do. After all, you either have some or you don't. It either is yours or it belongs to somebody else. You either spend it or you don't spend it. I mean, what could be simpler? And in verse 11, we are told, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, meaning money or riches, then who will commit to your trust the true riches? Well, as I said, God made the money part easy for me. At seminary, like many of you, I really didn't have any money. And even today, I still don't have much more than I had then. And so I don't have to worry about managing it too much. As often has been said, the Lord keeps you humble and the congregation keeps you poor. But Paul writes to the church in Corinthians, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." The mysteries of God. These are the true riches that he will give to us. Not just the money and the possessions, but those mysteries which revolve around Jesus Christ crucified and the Word and the sacraments and all of those wonderful things that you are here to study and learn and to give to your people each and every week and through your life each day. And when he gives us those things, we as God's stewards are filled with joy and honor at being given the responsibility to administer the true riches that he's given us, the Word and sacrament and his love. And so we go out and we preach and we teach the Word and we trust that we are leading the people to also be faithful stewards of what God has given them, be it money, be it the task that he's given them to do, be it carrying that word to other individuals. But we preach and we teach our hearts out, and we hope that they too are going to be faithful stewards and gladly receive the gifts of God and use them as we know they should be used. And then one day, a parishioner is going to walk into your office or perhaps stop you after a service or a choir practice. And they're going to look at you in all sincerity and in all the honesty that they have within them and with firm conviction. And they're going to say, "Pastor, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with that teaching, with the practice of our church. I know what you're saying and I hear your words, but from my reading, I just can't seem to put the two together. And I've got some doubt about what you're saying and what our church is doing." And you're going to respond just like James and John, who, when the people, the village of the Samaritans, would not receive Jesus Christ, James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven and devour every one of them. Don't they get the point? Don't they understand? We've got the word, we've got the truth, we're giving it to you, use it. And when they say, "We don't understand," we want them to be consumed. Well, I ask you today, those of you who are studying for the ministry, those of you who are still in the ministry, those of you who are teaching, how do you handle the riches that God has entrusted to you? Not just the mysteries of God, the Word and the sacrament, Jesus Christ crucified, the resurrection, but the riches of God's people, the flock that he entrusts to you as an under-shepherd. The people that he has given you charge over, how are you going to manage them? Because both must be preserved. The word must be preserved in its truth, and the faith of your people must also be kept. You must do this with a love for both, honoring the word and yet loving your people and meeting them where they doubt and where they fear, and encouraging and loving and trying to bring the two together. Both have been given to us as God's stewards, both the truth of the word and his people. Paul continues in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." It is Jesus Christ crucified whom we preach. As Colossians 1 says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Those people who come to you and you want to call down and consume with fire are the same people that Christ died for. They're the same ones that he has entrusted in your care to share that truth of the gospel message. And the Lord says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. God will entrust much to your care if you are faithful in the smaller things. How do you manage your money, your time, your studies, your family? How will you manage the word of God that he's given you? How will you manage those people who come to you? Because he will entrust to you their very lives and their souls. And that is an awesome responsibility that God has given to us. He calls upon us to be faithful stewards of his word and of his people. Not dividing the two, but bringing the two together in love. We will work hard. You will work hard in the work that you do for the Lord. You will strive to be a faithful steward to his word and to his people. And often you will not see the results that you hope for. But sometimes, just sometimes, you might get to see a little bit of a return on your investment. Perhaps it's when one more person, just one, shows up to Bible class or to worship, or gives themselves in the service of the Lord some way within their church. Perhaps it's in the tear-filled eyes of one of your parishioners who sees the comfort of the gospel through you, whom you have sat beside in a deathbed, and who hears the wonderful words of the resurrection. Perhaps it's from a small child walking out on Sunday morning and handing you a piece of paper with a drawing scribbled on it for the pastor, or a note that says, I love you. It may be that you see it in the smile of an infant that you hold in your arms as the waters of baptism are placed upon its head. Sometimes it seems such a small return, but God has committed to us the true riches of his word and of his people. And when we manage them well, then we can confess and profess how incredible that God should choose me, how wonderful that God can use me. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which is more than all our understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.